I love being in a church where we're doing something with our lives, eh? And I just want to give a bit of a shout out this morning. City Church, thanks Fred, nice shirt. And you know, this place has been my home for a long time. I was brought up in this church, and from a young fella, not a little fella, I've never been little, but from a young fella. And it's been home, and what's made it home has been the people, and it's been a lot of you guys. And I think when we, you know, we can take things for granted that we just go to something our whole lives, or we journey through life with people, and we just take it for granted. We don't realize what it actually brings to our lives. And I'm so glad that I'm in a church that looks after one another. I'm in a church that, with a bunch of people that look out for me. If I'm going through trouble, I know someone will ring me. They'll come round. They'll question what I'm up to. They'll help me through it. And I think as we go forward, there's these awesome things that we're going to start to do. And it's, but the core of it is us. The core of it is you and I. Because you and I are the church. Agreed? We are the church. And I love it. I love, you know, we could be part of a church that really just sort of does nothing. Just gathers on a Sunday, has a nice time and then leaves and that's it. But that's not us. That's not us. Our heart here is that if this place was to shut down across the city and our three campuses, if it was to shut down, the community would be like, wow, what do we do now? Because we want to influence our community. We want to influence with the love of Jesus because that's what we're called to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're actually here for a purpose. You and I are here for a purpose. It's to enjoy life and to have a good life, but we're here for a reason, and that's to influence the people in our lives. And so I'm really excited about what's been and what's coming up. What's been, man, there's been some amazing things happen in City Church, eh? Even in the last 5 years, when Pastor Alan said the last 64 years, I thought, man, we're in for a long morning. Get out the old family reels, eh? And like the old holiday shows. This is when we were on the blah, blah, blah. But the last 5 years has been fantastic. And I sure you agree that, you know, stuff like that just doesn't happen. It takes effort. It takes faith. It takes effort. It takes us working together. It takes people being generous. It takes people doing your own thing, using your own gifts in this house. And that's our heart for City Church. Is that you and I have a gift on our life, a natural gift of whatever it is that you enjoy doing, but there's also a spiritual gift. When you meet Jesus and that, and you give your life to him, you know, he gives you these gifts. He gives you these ways of communicating. He gives you these ways of outworking his love in your life to other people. And my way is going to be different than your way. Many of us are the same. We outwork it through doing things for people. We do it through encouraging. I know we're a very generous church. We always look after those around us. So many stories of people, you know, looking after someone. There was a family recently that had a roof that was stuffed on their house, broken. And so a whole bunch of guys chipped in and they got them a new roof. Seems like a smallish thing, but you know, it changed their life. It was something that they didn't have to sort out themselves, and they weren't in a place to do that. And there's tons and tons of stories of where you and I, because it's our generosity, you and I have helped people. And I love that. I love it. It's so cool to be part of something that's looking out for other people. And as we go forward, that's the eyes that we want. We want to see, you know, we want to see everyone around us like Jesus sees them. Just, you know, love them, loves their brokenness, loves who they are. Because we've got to remember that Jesus loves all of us the same, whether you know him or not. He loves us all the same, right? We've all had that experience. We've met him and stuff. And so I just want to encourage you to get involved. This isn't a season for just chilling out and doing nothing. You know, if you want to just chill out and do nothing, then maybe this might not be the place for you, if I can be as bold. We need you to be involved. We need you to engage yourselves. And there's Paul writing in Thessalonians. Is anyone still hungry from looking at that dinner parties thing? Yeah, they look good, eh? That's like at our house every night of the week. We always, this is Paul speaking to the church. I always thank God for all you, mentioning you in my prayers. I continue to remember before God the Father that your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's basically saying that he gets inspired by the church that he sees. He sees people's love for the community. And I know that we've got that here. I know that we want to be more loving. We want to be the church that Jesus sees, you know, healing and bringing healing and bringing things to people's lives, supplying needs and all that sort of stuff. And then there's a faith element. Paul can see their faith, because Christianity without faith isn't really going to work. Faith is the things that we can't see but we believe in, right? We understand that. And, you know, some of the things that we saw, in fact, I'd probably say all of them, took a huge element of faith on our behalf. You know, things don't always line up. You don't always get your ducks in a row. You always have to believe, you know, that you can plan and you can put as much resource and things into whatever we're doing. But at the end of the day, there's a faith element. And I want to encourage us this morning that don't ever let your faith element stop you from doing what God's asked you to do. Be prepared, be organized, count the cost, but have some faith about it too. Have some faith, step out, because that's where the excitement happens. The buildings out at Coast, I mean, that was fantastic. And to see that happen after these years, I mean, I was blown away. Rach and I were out there years ago, and we prayed about a building for years, and so did Rocky and Karen. And finally, the blue-eyed God's blue-eyed favorite pastors have managed to get it over the line. But, you know, it comes from years of us all being invested. You know, Des and Rachel out there every week playing, and everyone just doing their part. And here we are. We're the next step forward. And that's the church that we see. That's the church. Does anyone want to be involved in a church? Do we want to be part of something like that? Yeah. I know I do. I don't want to just live my life just chilling out. I want to live my life full on, doing all I can to make God's kingdom as good as it can be. And those are practical things, and they're faith-filled things. And the other thing was the endurance. And I want to encourage us this morning just to keep going. Keep going, guys. I did a run years ago. And it was a 50K run, and I got 35 Ks into it, and I just broke down. I hadn't trained. I was just dreaming, really. What a dreamer. Well, who does that? What a dreamer. And I got to 35 Ks, and I think, like, I realized that something was wrong when the van came around and they were packing up all the signs and all the marshals were, like, gone, and I was on my own in the bush. And then this guy came to me and said, "It's all over, mate. Like, you're not going to complete." And just this feeling in my heart was, I was just sad. I was just really sad. I was really sad. Didn't get my medal. Didn't get anything. No one talked to me at the end. I just hopped in my car, threw a sookie and went home. And then couldn't walk for 3 days. I don't want us to be like that. Let's just keep going, chugging away, one foot after the next, eh? You know, this season that we're in is just weird and strange, and everything around us is telling us to slow down and to stop and to look inward and to look, you know, to slow down. But we are not going to be like that in this place. We're going to go forward. God has plans. You can see we're going somewhere. So who's with us? Yeah. Awesome. Love it. All right. Our senior pastors, Pastor Alan and Eleanor, are about to bring it.
Kia ora ki te whānau. How are you doing? And it is so awesome to hear from Jared and about his marathons as well. I'm impressed he even got to 35Ks. And a big shout out to Pastors Max and Dorothy Chisman. Give them a hand. It is so good having you guys here. We've missed you in the last year when you've been down in Palmy, but we're hearing great things from you. So it is Vision Sunday. Isn't that exciting? You know, Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he talked about go into all the world and make disciples. And that's where we take our church vision from there and our mission, which is we see a growing multi-site church that saves souls, disciples believers, and trains leaders. That is what we are about here. That is what we're trying to do. We're not just here taking up space. We're not just here sitting in a pew, filling in time till Jesus comes back again, because we have a job to do. And here at C3 City Church, we're not just staying static. We are going somewhere. We're building something because God is going somewhere and God is building something. And we have to keep up with Him. And there are cheaper churches you can go to, you know. But wherever there is vision, it is going to cost us something. There will be a draw on our time. There will be a draw on our resources. So C3 City Church is never just going to be some kind of club and where we just hang out, us four and no more. It must always be ever increasing and expanding, because that's what the kingdom of God does. It can't just be you and your three friends or me and my four friends in our connect group for ourselves all our lives hanging out. We can't just defend our little religious space and our quaint wee Christian friendship circle and my seat on my pew and my car park out there. It is God's will for His kingdom to grow. In fact, growth is the norm in the kingdom of God. God designed His kingdom to grow. Healthy things grow. If a living thing is not growing, it is sick, there is a problem. It's a sign that something's wrong. The kingdom of God is an ever-increasing kingdom, like it says in Isaiah 9 verse 7, speaking of the kingdom of God, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. So we see the kingdom of God is not static. It is only going to keep on growing. So we can't afford as a church to set up camp where we are and call a halt to growth just because we feel comfortable with where we're at right now. Just because we like to hang out with our nice circle of Christian friends. And, you know, I don't want to change. I like everything just how it is now. I want it to stay the same. I like church how it is now, under 100. I like that how it is right now. And I don't want church to grow bigger. I don't like big churches. Well, guess what? Newsflash. God does. He wants His kingdom to grow. He wants it larger than it is now. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He loves people, wants them all to be saved and go to heaven to live with Him forever and ever and not be lost. And if we don't like big churches, we might get a shock when we get to heaven. We might not feel too comfortable, because up there, there's going to be people from every tribe and every nation and every language. We are part of the ever-increasing kingdom of God on the earth. We are not part of some piddly little thing on the corner of society, drowning in irrelevance with all the significance of the Hinuera Croquet Club. No! We are a vital part of the growing kingdom of God in Tauranga in New Zealand. And I am here today to tell you that we as a church have a powerful destiny in God, because we are part of what He is doing. And if we want to fulfill it, we've just got to say yes and commit to being all in. We've got to get involved. We can't just sit on a pew smiling. We've got to do a bit more than that. We don't just want to sit and camp and stay where we are and have a nice, quiet, religious Christian life. If you want to do that, become a Mormon or join a Rotary Club or something. God has got more for you. We've got to live for something bigger than ourselves. You know, imagine that day when we get to heaven and we stand before Jesus. When we arrive in heaven, maybe you've just been raptured, maybe you've just died, whatever, we're there in heaven in front of Jesus. We're going to want to receive His reward. We're going to want to have no regrets. We're going to want to know that we played our part in the last day's army of Jesus, the Bay of Plenty division that won Tauranga and New Zealand for the kingdom of God. And we are called to this. We are called for this. We are called for such a time as this, and we can see it happen in our lifetimes. Do you know, God could have chosen you to be born back in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, in AD 1200, back then with Braveheart, part of the Great Unwashed. But no, God chose you. He chose us to be born now, in the last days, just before He comes back to wrap it all up. We are part of the last days outpouring of the Holy Spirit on earth in the last 100 or so years since Azusa Street. God is getting ready for a huge end time revival, ingathering of harvest. And I feel like God is calling us afresh today to commit to His army, to be all in. not just to sit in a pew, but to get involved and to make it happen, to give our time, to give our finances, to give our energy, give of our giftings. This is a call to arms today. So I want to pray right now for all of us. And if you are ready to be all in, why don't you just put your hand on the shoulder of your neighbor, of the person you came with, if you're comfortable for that. And we want to pray right now. Father, we pray that you would move in power and make us one in these last days, that we would see this ingathering of harvest, that we would be your hands and your feet, and we would see all these harvests of backsliders and lost people come in. We would see your army and your kingdom grow in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, amen. Man, that was good. Oh, yeah, give her a hand. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? I've actually been blown away myself as I've listened to all the things we want to do and want to see happen. It's amazing. I do want to thank the people who have gone before. I am so conscious that we are where we are because 64 years ago they started a church here. That's a long time ago. How many people weren't born then? I came in 67, so there we go. And look, we're here because of that. And we are thankful to the people who have gone ahead and thankful to the guys who got the building about 30, 40 years, Pastor Phil Collis. How amazing is that? And it's now our chance to do the next thing. And I don't know about you, I want to make a difference. I don't want my life to not count. And I want to make an internal difference. It's not about making just a difference. You want to make an eternal difference. And I say this all the time. It's probably one of my guides in my life. Look, there's only two things that matter eternally. It's God, because he's eternal, and people. The rest of everything else that we do is not eternal. It won't be there, you know. In 100 years from now, you won't care about the seat that you sit on. You won't care about anything that you had or have. What you will care about is, are you with Christ? And who else is there? And, you know, as a church, we want to make an eternal difference. It's about making an eternal difference. And, you know, in Acts 2:46, it says, they worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those being saved. Ellen has already said it. Look, we want to see people saved. It's the most important thing to me that people come to know Christ. It matters. It's because you care, because I care. We want to see people get saved. And, you know, in this next year, that's in my heart. It's all about seeing people connect to God, seeing people. And we've got to do something about it. You know, and I wrote here, what's the strategy? And if you've been here in the last few weeks, I've talked about it. The strategy is so simple. And you can see it coming through the church. The first thing we need to do as individual is meet people's needs. We need to care. We need to care for people. There's so many needs out. You know, like sometimes it's overwhelming, the needs. All we have to do is meet the needs that are around us. And as a church, we want to meet needs. We want to be able to do C3 Cares. I think there's way more things to do. You know, one of the things on my heart is I just get crushed by the amount of young people and older people trying to commit suicide. And then you know that if someone tries and doesn't succeed, there's nothing to help them. For the next 2 months, 3 months, there's nothing to go through. I feel as a church, we want to be involved in helping people get through. A horrible time. The whole family that it's involved with, it's a hard thing. You know, I think as a church, we want to meet needs. We want to care for people. And it costs to do that. It costs time, it costs staff, it costs volunteer things, it costs to do it. But it makes a difference. Every one of us can make a difference. And look, sometimes even the smallest things make the biggest of difference. Every one of us should be looking every day, can I meet a need? Is there a need around me? Is there someone got a need? Meet needs. And as a church, when you see those needs, hey, maybe you go, this one's too big for me. Maybe we can do it as a church. Let us know. Let us know. I feel we've got more capacity, yet sometimes we don't know the needs that are there. So let's meet needs. The second thing is we've got to tell our stories. The church has not been very good at telling its story. There's lots of things that are happening that are making a difference. There's lots of things happening in your life. We've got to tell the story. We've got to tell our story. What's God done in your life? I know miraculous things of people in here. I've heard your life story. God changed your life. absolutely blew and changed everything in your life. It's phenomenal, the testimonies here. Some of you faced all sorts of things. You know, I talked about it the other week. You know, you faced drug addictions, you faced brokenness, you faced loneliness, and God changed your life. You need to tell your story. We need to tell the story. We need to tell the story of what's doing. And then the next thing I just felt is we've just got to invite people to accept Jesus. Invite people to church, invite people to connect group, invite people to Alpha, invite people to a course. You know, people you meet, there's something in our church for everyone because we want to meet needs. We want to make a difference. You know, when we all are doing it, when we're all active in sharing our faith, we're going to see people get saved. And then we're going to be discipling, and then we're going to having to train leaders, and then we're going to see more people saved, and it's going to go around in this beautiful little circle. Isn't that good? Why don't you stand to your feet? Musicians, if you want to come.